This is Today in Nursing Leadership, a podcast from the American Organization for Nursing Leadership. I'm Bill Klaproth, and with me is Yaris Bell Colasso, although she said I could call her Bell, because she's a nice person. So I'm going to call you Bell, because you said it was okay. As we talk about Mental Health Resource Nurse, a new approach to a healthy work environment. Bell, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Like I said, Yaris Bell Colasso here, and everybody else can call me Bell.
Okay.
Including Bill. He's
See
my
that?
New friend.
That's right. I feel honored. Thank
yes.
you, Bell. This
Thank
is
you.
Great. Okay, so when we talk about mental health and a new approach to a healthy work environment, can you talk about where we're at right now, work-related stress, burnout, job dissatisfaction, all those things among nurses? It's still going on. Tell us about the problem and what's happening right now.
I think there's a lot of information out there. It's not a secret that not only healthcare and nursing, like mental health and work environments is a big topic right now, and how to have better environments, you know, for that being said. So in nursing, especially where I did my project, which is a medical surgical unit, it is very important to address it with the pandemic, with the fact patient nurses ratio, high task, high volume and acuity of the patient. Sometimes we forget that aspect. So it is something that everybody's trying to focus. I think there's a lot of effort out there trying to make it better. And this is one of many that can help have a better work environment.
Which is really important because nurses want to do or provide the best care they can. And when they're stressed and burned out, they feel like they can't. And this ultimately then affects patient outcomes. So this is a really important issue,
yes,
isn't it?
Exactly. It goes back to when you're in the airplane, that it says you put the mask first and then you take care of the other. So if we are not checking in our mental health ourselves, most of the time, that's something that will affect the patient. Because I can tell you by experience, and this is not accurate statistically, only my statistic, like 80% of people that we look at in acute care and ICU, they do have mental health issue, borderline or non-diagnosed. So if we are not in a right space ourselves, it's very hard to overcome and to treat those patients properly.
That's a great analogy. The airplane analogy, put the mask on first. Your,
exactly.
Your tendency is, I'm going to put the mask on somebody else, but if you get sick or fall over, that person
right.
also is going to suffer the same fate. And, so really important.
Historically, as healthcare providers, we always put other people first.
Yes.
Now, it's been taught, you know.
That's why you become nurses. You want to help people. That's it.
But we are in an era right now that we have to make a change. Mm-hmm. We have to have a space for ourselves.
Yes, so important. It's so important that people like you are bringing this to our attention. So let's talk about this new approach to a healthy work environment. How are you addressing this issue?
So I am a nurse leader and I have an amazing team. So if they hear this podcast, I love you guys. And something that I realize is even post-pandemic, during pandemic and pre-pandemic is the work is getting harder. Nothing is getting easier, technology-wise, everything I mentioned before.
Well, the nursing shortage.
Right.
That doesn't help.
So what can we do and what do we have to kind of like help that aspect of nursing? So I start noticing, you know, the staff needed an outlet to talk. And it's not like we have different resources like counseling, you know, as a part of many institutions have those benefits. But it was having someone next to you that you trust that be that person.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is, you know, we got some nurses to volunteer to take a course related to crisis management, and they identify when there's some issues, depression, anxiety, so they can help others that are their peers. So put it this way, it's like Amanda and I were super friends at work and we get coffee every day, but Amanda is the person that I normally talk to, but now Amanda has other skills developed that is going to help me even better to overcome this, not only from the friend standpoint, but also from a professional standpoint. So I got nurses that volunteer, they got the tools and the professional development, and then they help their other peers, and we started that program.
So kind of staff engagement, sort of, you're using nurses to help other nurses,
correct.
Kind of a program,
yes.
like that, somebody to talk to, somebody
yes.
to share your stories with or frustrations with, that
right.
type of a plan or program where people feel like they're not in it alone?
Yes, and then you identify those resources. So, for example, we took pictures and we talk about it, and these nurses in particular had a newsletter talking mm-hmm. about the mental health subject of the month. So a lot of people get sad during Christmas, and Christmas is a happy time for a lot, but you'd be surprised. Some others are, you know, sad. And as nurses, we got to work every day. So maybe this year you work Christmas and we have to do it because this is our calling as a nurse, but that doesn't take out the equation that we're human, that we're sad, that we want to be with our family. So having someone there that can listen to those concerns and can provide support beyond just mm-hmm. a friendly peer was very helpful.
Yeah, and do you organize this through any like monthly check-ins? So there's kind of a schedule?
Yes.
Or
so
assignments?
The
or?
First thing that the nurses said, they went to the first aid crisis course. They got the knowledge, they got the certification, and they create monthly check-in with the subjects. Like, for example, this month is March, and everybody knows the taxes are in the moment. So it is abundance. Mm-hmm. So one of my mental health research nurses created a whole newsletter topic about abundance, about saving strategies and taxes and how to work on that. And we look community resources and we talk to the staff. They can always reach them, you know, these identified nurses, these mental health research nurses, and go in depth in that subject, in other subjects. But it's something that we start a subject every month, and then from there we have conversations and the talking and that anxiety decrease.
So these are topics that can be outside of the workplace.
Oh,
like
yeah.
At home, you might be dealing with the stress of taxes. So we're going to help you with that. We're going to try to alleviate that stress, even though it's not in the hospital situation, it's a life situation.
Correct. But give you an example. It's like we're looking into nurses do a lot of overtime. And is overtime what it's going to do? Increase burnout. So the financial status of people are very individual. But collectively, as a nation, everybody knows, like, we're having a hardship. You do overtime, you get more money, but you get more stress out, more burnout. So that will contribute to your anxiety, depression, mm-hmm. other things. So we talk about these subjects, you know, they come up with ideas of, oh, let's try strategies to save money, to invest in this. Let's talk about this subject that at the very end, yes, is outside of work, but does affect work. Because if you don't hear it, if you don't talk about it, or if you're not even interested, you would never even know that's an issue.
Yeah. So for someone listening to this podcast and they're saying, I love what Belle is saying, how do I get started myself? How did you put this plan into place? Did you do surveys? Did you build a committee? How do you map all this out? So for someone listening, how do they get started?
So one, as a leader, we have to find those informal leaders on your team. So those people that are volunteering, those are the ones that the other ones follow. So
you kind of know who they are.
Right. So those informal leaders would work with me when I went to them and say, hey, I noticed in this, the engagement of the team, you know, I see the morale, I feel something, like, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
Those are your key people because they're going to bring others. Those are the ones that you're like, okay, let's empower you to empower the rest. We did a survey, so we kind of measure statistically because we want to prove senior leadership that this is something that we need and we want. We got a statistic before and after, how do they feel? It's a self-reported survey of anxiety, mental health, how adequate they are, how would they like to have a concept like this next to them. And then once we started the project, we measure 8 months later, and then we have post data.
Okay.
So 85% of the nurses actually said that improve their mental health well-being, having these conversations every month.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that. So identify your leaders first.
Yes.
Then ask the right questions and then put plans in place to address those in your program of talking
right.
and having support and check-ins and meetings. Really has been
innovative,
beneficial.
Right, and creative. It's like find your resources. So different hospital system can have different resources. I don't know, partner up with a psychologist, with a social worker, and just empower your nurses.
Yeah, okay. So tell us about the results. So you've got this plan in place, mm-hmm. this program. What has happened?
So right now, we've been doing it for 2 years, and it is standing. So I added two more. So we have now a total of six mental health resource nurses. And like I said, every month they continue discussing this. We continue having great outcomes, great engagement that also can be measured by praise gaining engagement surveys. And we also continue doing kind of like a post survey from time to time. And it's ongoing. For us, it's part of our culture at this point.
So I like how you call them mental health resource nurses. Mm-hmm. So that's your team.
Yes,
that's my team. That you've tasked with executing this program.
Correct.
So throughout this, did you find anything unusual? I mean, not unusual, or any unanticipated benefits or something like, wow, I didn't know I'd learn this.
So I didn't anticipate that a lot of people were interested. So people were floating to the unit and they will see all these newsletters and the posters and they will say, hey, are you a mental health resource? And my nurses will be, yes, do you need help in anything? This is what we're discussing this month, but I'm able to help in here. We have magazines in the break room related to breathe. There's one of the magazines and different exercises. So then it starts the voice out like, hey, we don't have something like this. So we do have data because we like evidence-based practice, but I never thought there would be something that a lot of people would like to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this speaks to everybody wants to work in a healthy work environment and be seen and heard and recognized and supported. And if you have people around you that are actively trying to do that for you, that makes a huge difference. And it sounds like with your mental health resource nurse leaders, the newsletter, the programs, the check-ins, they feel that. Would that be right?
Yes. I think that's the key. They feel that we take care. They feel in a safe environment so they can share how they feel, regardless is a patient situation or themselves. And knowing that we will accept everybody who they are, you know, so they have that open kind of like floor for they can talk. So it's been great and a lot of people like it. And I get a lot of attention of actually recruitment because then the new nurses coming out of school are like, hey, I heard this program started here and I'm very interested because I can see myself doing something like that in the future.
Right. That is really important. And I bet that also helps with nurse retention, too.
It does help with nurse retention as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Well, Belle, this has really been fascinating. Thank you so much for your time. Anything else you want to add?
I just want to say to nurse leaders, we are great also taking care of people, but this applies to ourselves as well. I learn a lot from my nurses. And in the development of this project, I had to do some self-check-ins as well. And I noticed that the anxiety and burnout doesn't only apply to caregivers. It applies to leaders as well. So they have helped me as much as have helped them. And it's an ongoing thing. It's like you have to work on yourself to be able to work on the team. So it definitely, it started like, oh, let me help my staff. But at the end, it helped me as well to grow as a nurse leader. So my advice is like, don't be afraid, be innovative, and just make sure that if we're the captain and we're not taking care of ourselves, we are not going to direct a good ship. So let's just do it.
When you said you have to work on yourself to help others.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, that's really, really well said. Well, Belle, thank you so much for
stopping by today.
We appreciate
me.
It. Of course. Of course. Are you kidding me? Thank you again. Once again, that is Belle Collazo, her real name, Yaris Belle, but she said I could call her Belle, and I'm honored by that. For more information, please visit AONL.org. And if you found this podcast helpful, and how could you not? Belle is so good. Come on. Please share it on your social channels and check out the full podcast library for topics of interest to you. This is Today in Nursing Leadership. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.